when I've been preaching, but the last few times it has become necessary to get glasses. Isn't that sad? The last couple times I got up, I turned to a scripture and it was just like, this ain't happening. And I saw Stacy Schmidt or Robinson and Jenna. Jenna and Stacy and I were in the teen ministry here in Atlanta together. And what has happened? That now we need glasses. All right. Also, let me start my stopwatch here. Thank you. Who said thank you? Nick Loeffler. It is so great to be here. I absolutely love coming to the Northview Church of Christ. Of course, Steve and Kim have been lifelong friends, and Jim and Helen, the leadership here, thank you for inviting me. And I know you're thinking I didn't invite you, but someone here that's in charge did invite me, and they have done it several times now, so I appreciate that. You know, I always say, hey, I'll go and preach wherever I'm invited, but you guys are the only ones that invite, so I guess I'm here with you. In fact, we have decided, Kim and I have decided to make this our home church, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited about that. I love this church. I love the people in it. I love the music, Nick. You do, even though you said, thank goodness, you still do a great job with the music, and it's just fantastic to be with you guys. My mother is here, and she is awesome. She's a saint, if you know her. I said recently that in the Church of Christ, of course, we don't do saints, but if we did, she would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. She is a true Proverbs 31 woman, clothed with strength and dignity. And, you know, your mom's here, so I do have to be on my best behavior today. So I will try to do that. You know, back when I was in school, at the end of summer vacation, you would come back to school and the teacher would always say, you know, what did you do over your summer break? And, you know, some summers there were some exciting things to tell. Some summers it was like, what did I do? You know, kind of thing. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about what I did the summer of 2018. Because it was a summer that truly I will never forget. 2018, I started off the summer and I went to India, came back and ended up burying my father as he passed away, and at the end of the summer, I dropped my son off at college. So I had an eventful summer. And so today, honestly, I don't really know what to expect because I've never preached a sermon like this. This is going to be a little different than anything I've done. It's more a little sharing from my personal experiences over this past summer. It was a profound summer. It was spiritually impacted me in an incredible way. But my goal today and my hope today is that you will draw some strength from what I experienced over the summer of 2018. You know, look around here. We've got all different kinds of people. One thing that's true is we're all on our journey. We're all trying to figure it out. We're all journeying together. And that's what's challenging, honestly, about preaching is people are on different parts of their journey and different stages, different seasons, different phases of their journey, but we're all on it. And ultimately, I hope and I pray that this sermon today will encourage you, will strengthen you. If it needs to challenge you, whatever it needs to do, I hope that it will help you on your journey. Hey, I gotta get those glasses. See, that's why it's such a pain. So India, all right, let me start with India. First of all, let me say that going to India was not on my bucket list. Okay, if you do a bucket list, you know, places I want to go, India was not on it. I'm sorry for you in the back who were excited I was talking about India. There are some beautiful places in India. There is no doubt about it. Some of the most beautiful places in the world. But I'm telling you, where I was going was not one of them. And it was a mission trip. My son, Jess, had gone two summers in a row to India. And he absolutely fell in love with India, fell in love with the people, fell in love with the culture, fell in love with the food, fell in love with everything about India. And he may go and be a missionary there one day. And so he starts working on me. Dad, I want you to go this summer to India with me. And you got to understand, I was all about supporting him going to India. All about supporting missions. I just didn't really want to go on one. You understand? Here's the deal. Guys, I'm going to be real today. All right? I mean, I appreciate Il-Yim. Somebody talked about Il-Yim. Il-Yim was doing the sound 30 years ago in the campus ministry. He's doing it today. He did it yesterday. In heaven, they're going to say, Il, we need you. I mean, Il has a great heart. I do not have near as good a heart as Il-Yim. I didn't want to go to India. I was like, Jess, I think you're going to, I don't want to hinder you from your work. Dad, he's like, Dad, it's my last summer before I go to college. I want you to go experience. So, I mean, what are you going to say to that? You know, no, I'm too selfish. It's going to be uncomfortable. You know, what do you say to that? So I said, all right, I got to go. But I didn't have a great attitude about going. I really didn't. And starting with the plane ride, I mean, it's a 16-hour plane ride. I mean, that's a kick in the gut right there. 16. And we weren't maxing in first class, you know? I mean, first class, that whole thing is so hard to deal with when you're in coach. Because you get up and you walk toward the bathroom and you kind of see them in there, you know? And these days, it's like a time capsule. They're just like, pour me the champagne. You know what I mean? It's just, and you're back there like, you know, getting hit by the lady. I mean, it's just, and we get there, and you know, at first it's cool and all. The first night we flew into Chennai, and we were in a really nice hotel connected to a mall with a Starbucks. I'm like, oh, I got this. This is good. I got my Starbucks. This is all good. But the next day we got on a train, and it got real. In a heartbeat. All right, let me show you. I'm going to show you a few pictures. Like I said, this is different. I'm going to try to do this. What do we got up here? Boom. All right, there's me and Jess. He has a great heart. Me, not so much. This is the team of people from the Grace Chapel Church that went to India together. This is like the first day walking around. Just down the street. Cows everywhere. Of course, cows are sacred. And so they're just there. The kids in the orphanage, I would go and I would act like I was going to jump on the cow. They're like, no, dad. So that's my bed, all right? So those four bunk beds, those were four teenage boys. And that's me there in the middle. Now you may say that looks good. It didn't look good to me, all right? It was tough. All right, I'm going to stop there. That's the roof, I'll tell you. So here's the bottom line. I felt uncomfortable. I felt out of place. I felt unspiritual. And you know what stinks when you're feeling unspiritual? To be around people that are really being spiritual. That's really irritating. And especially when it's your 19-year-old son. It's like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. I'm just alive. And I'm like, this stinks. And, you know, little things like, you know, of course, the cultures, you eat with your hands. And Jess just got into that. And he's like, and I would be like, can I have a fork, please? And he's like, Dad, you know, just embarrassed. Come on, man, eat with your hands. And so it's just the whole thing going on. And I went up to this rooftop, okay? I got there, I went up to this rooftop, and I read this passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I think we're going to have it up here on the screen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I read this passage, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." See, there's God. I forgot my glasses. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So I realized, I got there and I said, "Jonathan, you know, this is ridiculous. You got to get your attitude right." And I went up on this rooftop and it was cool. It was up there. It was good. Can I go back to that? Went up to this. I'm going to start clicking like I do. You know, what's going on? Oh, there we go. Went up to this rooftop, and this is the city of Angol. And then I looked down. This is the area where the kids play. And I went up there and I started praying and I read this scripture and I said, "Man, God, will you change my heart? Will you change my heart? I am sitting here in India with my son with an incredible opportunity and I'm worried about my comfort. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that." I was so anxious. And what's cool here in this passage, I read this passage. This is kind of like one of my go-to passages. You know, I hope you all have those in life that, man, I went to this and I said, I need to rejoice. And one of the things I was blown away in India was the joy of the people. The joy of the people that were there. Many of them had nothing, and yet their eyes their hearts had so much joy. I said, "God, help me to have that joy." And it says here, it says, "Don't be anxious about anything." Do you know that God does not want you anxious today? Right. Do you know that? He says, "Don't be anxious." Is anyone anxious about anything? Yeah, we get anxious, right? But God does not want us to be anxious. We are God's children. Do you want your kids to be anxious? It bothers me. You know, I'm always talking to my kids. What's going on? What do you feel? I want them to be at peace. Amen. I don't want them to be all jacked up and nervous and anxious. I want them to be at peace because I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make, you know, it's going to work out. God doesn't want us to be anxious. I was anxious. And he says, "Well, if you're anxious," he says, "all you got to do is pray and petition God." Yeah, just pray. Just pray. Okay, I will. Thank you. I like it. Pray. Pray to God. Praise God. Worship God. And petition God. Some people are like, "Man, I shouldn't ask God for anything." Here it says to petition. Now, it is harder, I tell you, as I get older, to petition God. Because honestly, I don't know what to ask for. Because some things I ask for, I don't really want. Some things I say, don't I really want. You know what I mean? It's like, but there's certain things you can't ask for, like, "God, change my hard heart right now in India." Or should I pray about the lottery, you know? Should I, you know, 1.6 billion. But yet, I might pray to get that, and then you read all these things about people that win the lottery and their lives are destroyed. Although, I feel like, test me in this, Lord. Let me see if I can work that. I think I can do it better, but, you know, who knows? But what's cool here is we can change how we feel. You can change how you feel by praying and petitioning God. He says there's a peace that comes over you that transcends understanding. Or as Steve always says, it just makes no sense at all. There's a peace that can come over you that makes no sense at all. You know, we understand changing how we feel. Problem is, we usually do it with things that won't last. You know, I'm going to do it with alcohol. I'm going to do it with drugs. I'm going to smoke a little. What do they call it these days? Weed. Just still weed. There's all kinds of new names. How would they know? These are the teen Christians. I'm sorry. We try to change how we feel. We buy something or whatever. But you know, we can change how we feel by praying and petitioning God. There's a peace. And I'm telling you that on that roof, you saw it, my life changed. And my heart changed. And I walked off that roof and I went down. And the rest of the time, which was about 8 days, I was having a blast. Can I go back to the slides? Let me show you. So that was the roof. So here. Oh, no. Can I go to the slides? Let's see. There we go. Can I go to them? Okay, there we go. No. Hold on. What if I keep clicking things? There we go. This is one of the widows that that we served. And I'm telling you, the joy in her face and her, I just couldn't get enough. This is another lady. It's Jess praying over some folks. This is Madon. This is my dude right here, Madon. We had been sponsoring Madon and Madu, his brother, for years. You know, just sponsoring. I mean, we'd get letters back and forth, but just money. And I never met him. And he came up to me and goes, "Dad." You know? Woo, man. I mean, it was strong, man. And I love this dude. I mean, when I left India, I wept. I was like, "Madon, man, you got to come to America, dude. Because I'm not sure I'm getting back here to India." Just telling you, being honest with you. You got to come find me. But he was awesome. And, you know, I was repping the Gators. All the kids love the Gators, all right? Jess brought this slack line. They were doing it. I mean, look at that joy. Look at that. That's joy. That's serving, loving, okay? This is a game called Kabaddi. And it's like you're like in this box and there's a line and you got to run across and tag someone and then make it back across the line before they basically kill you. That's my son killing me. But it was, I mean, and you know, I just blew me away. My heart changed, man. You know, it just changed. And I got home. We would go to these gospel meetings. We were preaching the word and I would get home. Stay on the slides. I'm going to go back there. But I would get home and all the teenagers were like, "I'm exhausted. I want to take a nap." And I was the one like, "Hey, let's go play with the kids." Like, I had gotten all spiritual, you know? And they were like, "Oh, I'm tired." I'm like, "Come on, man, we're here. Let's give our hearts." You know, I was like, there's some kids. I rocked that hat really well. This dude was at the summer before at a gospel meeting. He was just studying the Bible, and he had become a Christian. He saw Jess and recognized him and ran up to him. And he said, "Jess, I'm at university now, and now 7 other people at my university have been baptized into Christ." I mean, it was so cool. This is Solomon. And Solomon has leprosy. And you can see his fingers were eaten away. But look in his eyes, man. So much joy. So much joy. I called him King Solomon. I loved him and I grew so much. You know, it's almost as if my circumstances changed when I came off that roof. But you know, my circumstances were the exact same. I was in that same cot. I was in that same orphanage. Still going to be there for 8 days. But my perspective changed. You got anything you need to change perspective on this morning? Anything, you know, the circumstance may change, but maybe the way you view it. Anything you need to pray about God changing your heart? What about your marriage? You know, instead of focusing what she doesn't do, how about what she does do? Instead of focusing on what he ain't, how about what he is? In your finances, in your relationships, in your job, what do you need to focus on? So India was incredible. It changed my life. There's a lot more to share, and I can share with you another time or personally. Secondly, my father passed away. And there's a picture of my dad and my mom. He had been very sick for a long time and in a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. So it was for the best, you know, but the finality of it was really challenging. And I tell you, you know how it is in life. When you haven't been through something, you're not that compassionate. Like you would want to be, you know, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. But if you haven't been through it, it's just hard. You can't relate. And a passing of a parent, if anyone's been through that, that's tough. You know what I mean? Just tough. When it's like, hey, you pick up the phone and I want to call dad after the Gator game. I can't. You know what I mean? There's a finality. So my dad was a great man. He really was. And I'm going to have to go through this. I'm going to share a few things that I shared at his funeral. He was a great man. He was in the ministry for over 50 years of his life. Even at the end, when he was in so bad health, people would come to the house for a little house church, and he could barely talk, but he would preach there in his wheelchair. Thousands of people were won to Christ because of him and his faith. Steve Sapp was a college student at the University of Florida. And you've heard Steve talking about coming to church with his hair down to his rear and overalls and no shirt. And he became a Christian. Yeah. Should have asked you about the pot situation. No. But he had a calling. He had a calling. I mean, we heard stories about when he was little, he was 5 years old, he would keep baptizing his dog Rags. And the dog would run off, bring him back, baptize him, bring him back, baptize him. They used to ride a train when he was 7, 8 years old to go see the grandparents, and he would get up and preach publicly on that train. His sister would beg their mother, please don't let Charles preach on the train today. And he just had it was all the time. He was always thinking about how can I help somebody to become a Christian? I mean, irritatingly so sometimes. I would come home from Thanksgiving. I just want to eat and watch football. He'd be like, John, then we got to reach out to those people. I mean, it was all that he thought about is helping others become Christians. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, of course we know it. It says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to command everything I've commanded you. You know, the last words of Jesus, usually your last words are pretty important. The last words of Jesus were, go and make disciples. You know, as Christians, that should be what we're all about. Is going and making other Christians. If you want to be Christ-like, that's what he was all about. That's what we should be all about. But you know, the truth is, do you ever wonder, why are we just not evangelistic? Why do we not care? Because it's hard to care if you don't think anybody is lost. Our culture today says everybody's okay. You know, and we kind of see it like the day of judgment. It's like Satan's going to be there and he's going to have like Hitler and Charles Manson. And that's about it. And like bummed out. And everybody else is just streaming into heaven. But the Bible says that heaven, hell is real. I heard a quote years ago from an atheist that says, if hell is as real as Christians say it is, I would walk on my hands and knees on broken glass around the world just to tell one person to do everything they can to not go there. he believed in helping people, and I it inspired me being there and hearing about that. But I'll tell you what, the biggest impact that he had on my life is he modeled repentance. He modeled repentance. He was not perfect. He was in the ministry for many years. He did a lot of great things, but he was not perfect. And he had his struggles, and he had his sins, and he had some serious things that he had to get over and deal with in his life. But as I look back, the thing I appreciate the most is that he modeled repentance for me. Because as I've gotten older and had to face my own demons in life, and I have, I'm thankful that I had a father that showed me what it means to repent. What it means to repent. You know, we think of repentance as a religious word. It's not. It could be as simple as I was going over there and I repented and came back here. I turned around. I turned around. You know, there's some of us in here today that have some things that we need to turn around in. We need to repent of. And you say, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 24:16, it says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. That's just all. We love comeback stories. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods won recently. I mean, the place was going ballistic. Remember Rocky II? You guys don't remember Rocky II? Remember? It's like, yeah, Apollo Creed, you know, before Clubber or Drago or whoever. Apollo Creed, he would knock him down and he'd be like, yeah, I won. And they'd look over and he'd be like scraping up off the ground. And I'll never forget Apollo's face, just like, oh, yeah, I can't keep this guy down. That's how God wants us to be spiritually. Let me keep getting up. Proverbs 27:6. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, to really help you repent sometimes, you need friends. You need people in your life. And this has always been an interesting because it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, that we tend to like to surround ourselves with people that just want to kiss us. You know what I mean? Just tell us how good we are, how great we are, and how everything's good. But what we really need is friends that are willing to say hard things to him. I appreciate Steve Sapp and Kim, for that matter. They've been wounding me for many years. I mean, I appreciate, Blake's not here. Blake Neeland is my brother-in-law. I'll never forget the summer of 2013. It was August. He set me up with, hey man, let me take you to Cracker Barrel. And I hate when people involve food with wounding, you know, because it, I was all excited, you know, oh, I'm going to Cracker Barrel. And I love Cracker Barrel. I'm going to get you hungry here. I always get the country boy, okay? Because country boy, you can get it all on the country boy, all right? You don't have to. I don't like it when they're like, you can choose this or that. I'm like, no, no, this and that. I want the hash brown and the fried apples. I want the sirloin and the steak. I want it all. So I go, and Blake, you know, he had me over, and I ordered the country boy, but before I could even get into it, he had some things he wanted to share with me about me. And he challenged me, and he knew that I wasn't living the way that God wanted me to live. And I'm thankful that I've had friends to do that. Do you? I got a lot of them now. I mean, in case you think you might need to be one of them, you don't. I mean, I see Dan and Mark, Jeremy, Jeff. I got so many friends here that are willing to wound me. I'm good. Lastly, I took my son to college. I'm going to wrap it up here. And there you go. That was hard. I was in his dorm room. And, you know, it's just tough. I don't know why we have to love our kids so much. you know, it would be so much easier if you're just like, yeah, dude, peace out, man, go live. Why do we gotta love them so much? Why is it so hard to let go? It's like my daughter Alyssa and my stepdaughter Braxton just turned 16. They are step twins. They're a day apart. They're both about to get their driver's license, and, you know, we're learning to drive. And can you imagine my insurance? Can you fathom it? Yep. But it's so hard to just let them go. And it's like, man, it's like, it's so hard to let them go. And it's like, me and him, man, we were running buddies. And I tell you what, I'm so glad I had that experience in India. And he left me with four girls, which is great, but I mean, it's just me and the girls. But you got to surrender. Matthew 6:25, you know the scripture, don't worry. God clothes the grass of the field. You know, you got to let go of these kids. Surrender them to God's will. You know, I think we give ourselves too much credit with our kids. And also, we take too much blame with our kids. I really do. Because here's the thing. I mean, I went up for Parents Weekend recently, and I was with Jess's, some of his professors. They pulled me aside. They're like, man, what did you do? I mean, this kid is amazing. He is just spiritual and this and that. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'll put him through a divorce in middle school. I mean, it's kind of funny, you know what I mean? You know, not really. Put them through a divorce. You know, I believe, you know, throw some real obstacles in their path. Let them grow up that way. No, but, you know, I think I did some things right. I think I did. But I'm sure I did some things wrong. that I'm sure of. But, you know, God is in control. He's in control. And as much as we love our kids, as much as we do, and we do, there's just something about it. God loves them so much more. God loves them so much more. And he knows they're on their journey. And you can just let, if we could, he really wants you just to chill and have that peace. That makes no sense. Because God's got this thing. Back up. Let God work. God is in control. So anyway, I'm out of time. That was my summer of 2018. I hope in some way that encouraged you and strengthened you today. Thanks again for having me.
All right, let's all stand up. We'll have one closing song. We're going to sing Our God, He is Alive.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tent his skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. The prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, He is alive, in Him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man, He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that He from sin might set men free, and evermore with Him could live. There is a God, He is alive, in Him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man, He is our
afternoon.